对啊，Hello, everyone. This is the Final Play Podcast. My name's Jason, and this week we're talking about week four of the NFL and all the little bits of news and bonus little tidbits that's going on in the NFL.
Let's do it.
Okay, so week four of the NFL, starting with Thursday night's game, the Philadelphia Eagles just getting over the Packers 34-27. The Tennessee Titans getting over a hapless Atlanta Falcons 24-10. New England Patriots starting 4-0, just getting over the Bills 16-10. The Chiefs, another 4-0 side, getting over the Lions, a bit of a closer affair, 34-30. The Raiders getting over the Colts, 31-24. The Chargers getting over another hapless team, the Dolphins, 30-10. The Giants.
Hey, they're getting better.
They are getting, well, yeah, well, they're not scoring zeros. That always helps. The Giants.
They only lost by 20.
keeping the Redskins touchdownless, 24-3. The Browns and Ravens, the Browns winning 40-25. The Panthers beating the Texans, 16-10. A massive scoring game, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers beating the Rams 55-40. The Seahawks.
What the hell?
Yeah, that's the one we need to talk about. And the Cardinals, the Seahawks beating the Cardinals 27-10. The Chicago Bears getting over the Minnesota Vikings 16-6. The Jaguars just beating the Broncos 26-24.
Minshew-mania.
Some team called the Saints beating the Cowboys 12-10.
Ooh, and that.
The Philadelphia Steelers getting their first win over the Cincinnati Bengals 27-3.
Oof.
Upsets galore.
Upsets. Just I couldn't believe what I was looking at on the scorecards. You know, on the just upsets everywhere. Like, that's unbelievable. And then just to top it all off, that Bucks Rams game.
That's the one I want
to
talk about.
To walk into the Coliseum in LA and be up 21-0 just after the first quarter. It's just like, what happened there?
It was, well, I couldn't just see any defense. Like, 95 points is, look, I guess it's not uncommon in the NFL. There can be high scoring games, but
sides. Not
like they went the third quarter. I thought, oh, okay, they get over the first half. And then the third quarter, it was just 3 points apiece. But 3 points apiece. But that last quarter, it was just a touchdown-a-thon. I don't really understand what happened. Like, it was just a game that I couldn't explain. Like, it's been like Jared Goff to throw 517 yards in a losing side.
Yeah,
is insane.
He threw a miss a million times as well.
I mean, and it was definitely a throwing game. That was the sort of the other thing. I was just one of those fans that like seeing, quarterbacks throwing those massive throws to the wide receivers. But it was crazy. I don't know. It's hard to explain because it was just. It went from looking like it was going to be a so close scoring game, and then it just blew out.
Yeah, it was for me. It was just an old fashioned Wild West shootout.
Yeah,
like it was just 48 points in the fourth quarter. Yeah. 48 points in the fourth quarter. How many games could you go through this week and there wasn't even 48 points total in the whole game?
Total. Yeah,
and
correct.
They've scored 48 points in 15 minutes. Like, just crazy. That's, I mean, Goff threw 68 times.
Yeah.
What's happened there? What's happened to the genius Sean McVay? He's got one of the best running backs. He's got the second highest paid running back on his squad. Why they rushed a total of 11 times, the Rams? Like, it was just one of those games where it's just like, okay, the rush, the run game isn't working, so we've got to do this completely through the air. It's just, it's bizarre.
Yeah, it was. Well, and then you're right. There's something wrong with Todd Gurley, because
it's got to be that Super Bowl. I don't know. It's something like he's got a mild form of arthritis, and whether it flares up or not. But they're just even this year, like they're just not using him that much.
No, they're not. I just don't, you're right. Like, I mean, they have five carries for 16 yards for a guy that was, last year was in line to become MVP. So
that's right. He was near universally recognized as one of, top three or four running backs in the league. And I haven't watched a lot of Rams games, but obviously except the one against the Saints, but I don't know whether if they're trying to get him involved or the game plans are changing on the run, because the teams that they've come up against, they're stuffing the run. Like, one of the hardest teams to run against is the Saints. And I think Dallas found that out on Sunday night. But
yeah,
it just Tampa doesn't, to me, scream run stuffing defense, especially when 40 points were put up. I don't know what's going on. There's something, the illusion is there that he's all good, but he's not being utilized.
No, I completely agree. And just watching, I guess, mostly towards the end, that last sort of quarter is pretty much where I caught it, and clearly that was the best quarter to see anyway.
Oh, yeah, that'd be the best quarter of the year.
You're right. I suppose, like, there's clearly something going on with that injury, but is it also because Jared Goff has got too much throw equipment to throw it to, and it's just easier to throw? I don't know.
Possibly. Like, he's got some very solid options, and it must just be, if we look like that we can exploit, the opposition's defense through the air, then that's what we'll do. But they're not even trying to establish a run game.
No, that's something, you're right.
Come the end of the year, you'll get found out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you start coming into, week 14, week 15, week 16, week 17, you'll get found out if you don't have, a nice, happy balance. And if you're one dimensional, you'll get found out.
And wasn't there, I guess the other thing, unless he got traded away, So last year when Todd Gurley was injured, and there was a Rams backup. Yeah, so what happened to him? Because I haven't seen daylight of him on any team.
They sent him to Detroit.
Yeah, okay.
And as far as I know, from what I can remember, I think Detroit cut him. Like, he played a couple of games. He might have played week one and week two, and that's it. Yeah. He's gone.
Okay. Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
CJ Anderson, and CJ Anderson looked like a star throughout the playoffs. Like a star.
Yeah.
Yep.
Might need to pick him up anyway.
They've got to do something. Like, there's something, I don't know, there's something under the covers there, I think, a little bit. And it'll expose itself, sooner rather than later, once they come up against a good pass-stopping defense, then they'll have no option but to try and establish the run game. And if it's not there, and if Todd Gurley is one of those confidence players, and he hasn't got the confidence from the coaching staff to be able to go out there and say, yes, I can do this, then it's going to rear its ugly head sooner rather than later, I think.
What did you think? I mean, I'm going to call it upset because the Cowboys were primed to win, but
sure.
Yeah, what did you, I guess, think I think we've talked about this on an off pod, but what did you think of the New Orleans and Dallas game?
Defensive slug.
Yeah.
It might be a little bit of, a little bit of ineptitude with Teddy Bridgewater as well with the Saints. How well defensively they actually played, and like I said before, they're one of the hardest teams, even this year and last year, they were one of the hardest teams to run against because their front seven, they just stuff you.
Yeah.
But their Achilles heel is they give up the big play, even though they have decent safeties and decent cornerbacks. They're prone to giving up the big play downfield, but it's very hard for you to run against them. But the two fumble recoveries
by Von Bell.
They're the two key plays of the game. Bridgewater was solid without being outstanding.
Yeah.
But it just lacks that little bit of polish, and he's got one of the worst completion rates in the league, amongst sort of eligible quarterbacks in throwing downfield, like over 20 yards. So
yeah,
that's a bit of a problem as well, because you're not really opening up the field, especially when you've got Michael Thomas on your team. And now that they've sort of, Traquan Smith's hurt, the rookie from last year. Ted Ginn Jr. is back. He's not really utilizing Jared Cook, the tight end, very much, where, in a Drew Brees-led offense, if you've got a decent tight end, then he'll get lots of play. So I just thought that it just sort of, not so much, it didn't expose Dak Prescott, but it just, I think it just brought him back down to reality a little bit for them to go, maybe not so much stat padding, but, the games that we have played were pretty ordinary, and the team that we have just played, and it could be totally different if the game had been played in Dallas, but, being at the Superdome, and Dak just looked like he'd struggled a little bit. He wasn't connecting with Amari Cooper. Zeke didn't have the best game, but even the Cowboys defense was pretty good.
The Leighton Vander Esch, he's just coming from strength to strength. You're right. I mean, it was both defenses.
Jalen Smith. They've got class. A linebacker and up front, like that. They've got an amazing, same as the Saints. Like they've got a super front seven. For me, that was the two biggest plays were the fumble recoveries. The Saints are doing just enough to do whatever they can to get W's and waiting for Drew Brees to come back.
Like I said, it was definitely the.
They should go back to the drawing board a little bit, but I don't think this will shatter them too much. It'll just be okay. That's a blip on the radar. They're good from front to back. I think it's over inflated their first three wins.
And saying that, just to finish on them, I still think Ezekiel Elliott, or just say Zeke is just easier, is still a touch off his best in the last couple of years. I don't know. He's getting the carries. It's not that usual Zeke go forward and those bulk yardage. So I don't know if it's just because he's had that bit of a layoff and he's just not back to that proper Zeke that, that I guess Dallas all know and love.
It'd be interesting to find out what his yards after contact are.
So it's just
to see whether or not if he's getting the gaps opened up for him, or if he's using that power game that he has. So that'd be interesting to sort of find out what his yeah, just a comparison of year to year, what his yards are, what his, you know, what his post contact meters.
He needs to justify that massive contract. That massive contract.
your boy got paid. So
Yeah, he got paid.
So that's it. Time to start living up to it.
There's a few sort of other games that were, I guess, a surprise. The a team we don't really talk about, the Carolina Panthers getting over the Houston Texans.
Oh, well, yeah, what happened? Yeah, in Houston.
In Houston.
Houston cannot afford a game like that at home against the Carolina team that realistically they should be beating. When Houston are relatively healthy.
Yeah, and they were relatively healthy, exactly what you said. I don't know. It was Kyle Allen that stepped up for Cam Newton. He had a very, very good game.
He's looking good. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that I heard he was undrafted.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so I'm not too sure, but
another Tony Romo.
Yeah, probably.
I wonder how good his golf game is.
It does help. You've got Christian McCaffrey, you know, running 93 yards with 27 carries. But
yeah, you'd think you'd get a little bit more than 93 yards on 27 carries. They must have. Oh man, he would have been sore after that.
But I mean, they still.
He also caught 10 passes and had 86 yards in the passing game. So
that's exactly right.
And the problem is too, like, you know, and again, you don't want to be one dimensional like that. Like, that's just funneling everything through Christian McCaffrey. But I guess if he can't be stopped, then may as well go to the well.
He's probably going to, but the thing is, like, you can't keep doing it because we're week four in like 16 weeks. He's going to burn out.
No, well, the Panthers don't really have that much of a chance of actually making the playoffs anyway. You may as well beat him down for 17 weeks.
Just beat him down. But you're right. Houston at home, they're not games they should be losing. And
No way.
Yeah, they just. I don't know. It was just a lack of sort of points that, like, again, probably through the air, like DeAndre Hopkins only getting 41 yards.
Didn't he only have four catches as well? Four catches, 41 yards.
Yeah, five catches. So
yeah, you can't afford to have those games when, yeah, like I said, you've got, and they're relatively healthy.
I
can't afford to be inept like that. You just can't.
Not for a team that did a lot of trading in the off season.
For a win now season team.
Yeah, they're definitely games that they shouldn't be losing. Speaking of teams that probably shouldn't be really losing, but seem to be the ongoing theme, the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, what the F is going on in Atlanta?
Well, I mean, you throw out your theory, and I bet you, if I ask a few people, they'll probably agree with you. The theory you said before we went on the air.
Well, listening to a ESPN radio show just at the start of the week, and it was basically they're just doing a bit of a wrap-up of the weekend's games and everything, and then one of the things they touched on was the Atlanta Falcons. And, yeah, they came up with the perfect analogy of – since the 28-3 gag in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago against the Patriots, and that's all it can be. It's a gag. That's all it was. You cannot throw away a 28-3. It doesn't matter if it's against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. It doesn't matter. You cannot throw that away. Anyway, it was there. Just that perfect analogy of since that, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady and the New England Patriots have stolen the soul of the Atlanta Falcons. Absolutely stolen their soul because they have not looked anything like they should the past two seasons.
And do you count it for, is there anything in particular? Like, I mean, like I said, I still think Matt Ryan is an,
he is.
You know, he's I guess in a way for a quarterback when he should have been, he's carrying the team.
Don't underestimate the Kyle Shanahan factor as well.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, Julio Jones, you know, this is a world-class athlete. I think he's up for his contract, isn't he? Or he's about to be? Or did he just sign?
It's been reworked. It's been reworked. So that boy been paid too.
Yeah, so reworked for four receiving, four catches for 52 yards.
Brutal.
So there's,
he's got weapons to throw to. Even Mohamed Sanu is an above average receiver. Calvin Ridley had a terrific rookie season last year. Yep. And he's not getting it. Julio Jones. Yeah, all you got to do is look back to last year and you might be able to look it up. But when did Julio Jones get his first touchdown catch last year? It was something like week 11.
Yeah.
Like that can't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though, you know, Matty Ice, you know, Matt Ryan, he's a terrific quarterback. He's a former league MVP. But I just, whether it's an accumulative factor of, you know, of the stolen soul. And also, I think don't underestimate the Kyle Shanahan factor as well. Now that he's not there as the offensive coordinator, now that he's in San Francisco, did he have that right scheme for them? Obviously not the best scheme for them in that last bit of the Super Bowl. But, you know, he's not there anymore and they just haven't looked, they haven't looked the same.
Yeah, but let's not, I guess, we're not really discrediting, but, you know, Tennessee Titans play well. Mariota throwing three first half touchdowns.
They're an enigma. Tennessee is an enigma.
In what way? Yeah.
Where do these games come from? Like everybody goes down the path of, oh yeah, it was Mariota any good? Yeah, and then all of a sudden, like the start of the season, they put a hurt locker on the Browns, and you're just like, where did that come from?
Yeah,
and now this week you're just like, okay, we're they're an enigma.
Yeah, I mean. I really like that Derrick Henry, their running back.
He's quite good.
He seems to, Mariota he's just consistent.
Mariota doesn't have that star receiver to throw to. So they're going to be built on defense and pounding the ball.
Pounding the ball. Yeah. You're right. But they probably are an enigma. Like, they're probably another team that you could probably, I wouldn't say rule out at the moment, but at least you wouldn't think they're going to be there come playoff time. But
it's an interesting division because, you know, if you want to go, you know, in the division as well, the Indianapolis Colts losing at home to the Raiders.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
That's a game that Indianapolis shouldn't be dropping.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. You're right. It's a very it's the only division, the AFC South teams, that every team is on 2-2.
2-2,
which is ridiculous.
There's like 12 teams at 2-2.
That's exactly right. Like, it is a very, very interesting division. Yeah, it's actually mind-boggling when I'm sort of looking at that, like. I can't really. My head says the Texans, but it's hard to pick a division winner in that group.
No, that's right.
Because you're right. I mean, the Colts shouldn't go down at home as well against the Raiders. Because the Raiders, I mean, after Antonio Brown left, no one expected
They should be a fairly ordinary team, but I think for me, Darren Waller. Who's the tight end there in Oakland? He's a nice little safety blanket for Derek Carr, which he didn't have last year.
Yeah.
So, I think that's a nice thing for Derek Carr to have.
Yeah.
And the young kid, is it Josh Jacobs, the rookie?
Yeah.
He's having a sensational season.
Yeah, and a lot of people were bagging Gruden.
They're giving him the rock, and they are letting him go.
Yeah, a lot of people were bagging Gruden for that pick too, and he's at the moment to be a masterstroke. So
yeah, he was a high pick, and it's working. It seems to be working okay for the moment. But I mean, especially if he can go into Indy, and knock off, which I think a lot of people would say that the Colts. Well, so anybody in that division can win it.
Yeah,
it's not like the AFC East where it's going to be the Patriots and everybody else.
you're right. But the Bills did look. The Bills did really well to stay in that game. You're right. I mean, they are playing easily above what everybody expected.
Well, Brady had, we'll just sort of touch on that one just real quickly. Brady had a pretty ordinary game. Uh-huh. A pretty ordinary game. And, due to what the Bills did to him defensively. But when Brady has that kind of game, Josh Allen can't be as bad as what he was. Like, they've got to be able to capitalize on how bad Tom Brady was. And that's just a testament to this year's New England Patriots that they can get the job done defensively. And that's extremely scary.
Yeah. Yeah, true. I mean, they did with just with that game that I caught, they did enough to win that game. They didn't have to do. It's probably
what
just
you
like,
do when you're on the road.
It's a classic Patriots game. They didn't have to do much to win on the road. It was.
Yeah, all you got to do is get the W.
Yeah, they and that was across the board. Like, I wouldn't even say their defense stood out in that game. They just they did enough to get the W, which is all you need. Like, exactly like you said.
Yep. No, that's it. That's all you're going to do.
So is there any other games that sort of stood out before we move on to some news?
I was extremely surprised at how the Browns just ran roughshod on the Ravens at home in Baltimore. I was extremely... It was the game that we all thought that the Browns were. Do you know what I mean? Landry, eight catches, 167 yards. Nick Chubb, 20 rushes, 165 yards. That's the team that we all think that the Browns are.
Yep.
So they sort of not so much exposed Lamar Jackson, but he threw for three TDs, but he also threw two interceptions.
Exposed their defense, I think, more than anything.
Yeah, that's just one of those games that it's taken 4 weeks, but that's the team that everybody believed that the Cleveland Browns are and could be.
Yeah,
doesn't matter what team, what defense you're coming up against, that's the team, and the problem is. What's Odell Beckham sort of what's going through his head? What did he get? Did he get two catches?
Yeah,
he's not going to put up with that for too long. Even though they're winning, I get that. But he had four targets, two catches.
For a total of 20 yards. Yeah, there's still, I don't know. There's something. Yeah, that's probably the thing I noticed as well. Like what. Is something going through OBJ's head, or is he just not performing this year? Like he's got a decent quarterback to get the ball from, but
he's a genuine number one receiver, so he'll be getting a lot of attention in the backfield. So is it just a matter of, okay, I can't get it to him because whether he's being double covered or anything like that? So it could just be just trying to work out the kinks, but. The big thing with that is also as well. Oh, he lost one of his earrings as well. Like, what a tragedy that is. If you don't want to lose your earrings and your chain and your big ass watch, don't freaking wear it on the field. Simple.
The watch was the funniest one. It's a plastic watch that's worth $15 million or whatever. It's a plastic watch.
$15 million.
$15. $15 million for a plastic watch. Hey, it might be limited, but it's goddamn plastic. But anyway.
You're goddamn right, it's limited.
Yeah, I couldn't work that out.
That's insane. And for him to sort of have that press con, you know, to be interviewed in the press conference and you know, sort of pulling on his ear and going, "Oh, I lost my earrings." It's like, well, don't wear them. Don't wear them.
Yeah.
You're playing a contact sport. It's inside a helmet. Anything could happen and get ripped out. It's silly.
Yeah, it is. It's ridiculous. Like, I mean, it's not the thing you talk about after a football game, but I mean, it depends if you're back. Yeah, clearly, yeah. You do, so.
Exactly. I go back to my man Alvin Kamara. He's got that bloody bull ring through his nose. He wears that through the game. I'm like, that's fraught with danger.
Although I've seen him on a TV show recently. And you're right. I mean, obviously during a game, it's ridiculous. But I'm not the biggest fan of him. But I don't know. It's just for him, it's probably the dreads. But it just suits him. Like I can't see him not without it. It just, I don't know.
I think it's just what we're used to looking at with him.
Yeah, probably. It's probably, and it's clearly a style thing. But it just suits him. Like, you know, it's. Yeah, I don't know. I remember the old Seven Dust. Do you remember the old Seven Dust band with the lead singer that looks exactly like Alvin Kamara? So that's Alvin Kamara 2.0.
2.0.
So the only three teams, just before we move on, that are undefeated is the New England Patriots, the Kansas City Chiefs, and because they had the bye, still the San Francisco 49ers. So.
That's right. Yeah, this 3-0.
Yeah, so
just quickly, sort of speaking of the Chiefs, like, you know, is Mahomes a bust? He didn't pass for a touchdown this week. He's a bust. He's a bust.
He's not a bust. You're kidding yourself. He's not a bust. No.
Bust. Can't beat Detroit in Detroit. Bust.
He beat Detroit.
How long did it take him?
Yeah, okay, but he's not a bust.
To the last minute or last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter, they should have gone out there and absolutely beat the pulp out of him.
You are kidding yourself. He's not a bust. He's in line for probably like $170+ million contract or whatever they're going to throw.
Oh my god, it's going to be more than that. He's going to be hitting the twos.
Oh well, yeah, I've heard.
He's going to be hitting the twos.
That is ridiculous, but yeah.
Problem, yeah, and just quickly, you know, the problem with that is you pay him that, boy, you're going to have a hard time putting a team around him.
This is true.
This is a hard salary cap game. This isn't like the NBA where you pay a nice little luxury tax back to the league. This is a hard cap. So you put all of that money. That's what they've got to try and win now, because statistics say. I think it's something along the lines of, if you're paying your quarterback anything over like 18% of the salary cap, you just don't win.
But the thing is, if they don't, someone else will. So
of course. Yeah, they're in a bind.
Yeah, no, they have no choice. They literally have. Yeah, you're right. They're in a bind. They have no choice. But
there'll be 30 other teams looking for him, because obviously the Patriots won't look at him, because Tom Brady's playing for the next 6 years. So you know they don't have to worry about it.
Oh my god,
he's going to be playing until he's 50.
Yeah, well, probably. He looks like he's still 20, but anyway.
He's going to have a big wizard beard on him by the time he's 50, and he's going to be he's going to be ridiculous.
Oh, classic Gandalf. So moving on, a couple of the big news that came out of the NFL this week. Vontaze Burfict has been suspended without pay for the rest of the season.
It's not so much the suspension. It's the suspension without pay.
Yeah.
Like that's a pretty hefty deal. And he's not without, he's not without his flaws.
Yeah, what do you want to run through, like his history of discretions? Yeah.
So, since I can only assume this is since he's come into the league, but since 2013, he has accrued a total of $469,000 worth of fines. And he's also served a 4-game suspension last year for PEDs. So he had a lot of, you know, whether it's face mask, unnecessary roughness, had three of them, three indiscretions in 2013, one in 2014, two in 2015, you know, whether it's late hits or unsportsmanlike penalties, two in 2016, one in 2017, and then two last year, as well as the PED suspension.
Look, I don't care.
And now this one, like he's a bit of a loose cannon.
It's his technique, like you said. It's his technique.
Look what we're talking about before. Whether or not he's a bad player, and when Gruden brought him in to the Raiders, he instantly made him a captain. So whatever that sort of says to you is he got a good locker room presence. Things like that, you know, those intangible sort of things that not everybody sees.
Yeah.
Although everybody probably should have seen this year with Hard Knocks, he had an extremely poor record with the things that he'd done in Cincinnati over the years.
Yeah.
And now it's only taken him 4 weeks to do the same sort of rubbish that he's been doing. And now he's a detriment to the team now, because he's not there, and he's not being paid. He's gone for the rest of the season.
And look, and if anyone's seen the hit, it's about four at the worst. Yes, it was slow motion, but he had four steps before he's hit the Colts player head on, and I mean head on. Going down while the Colts player was sort of on the ground. Even if he didn't have time to, miss the player, he definitely had time not to put the head. He had not to lower his head. He could have jumped over. There was plenty of ways that even if he made contact, it wasn't going to be a head-on-head, helmet-to-helmet hit. But he had time. He had time. No, so of course.
Yeah, it was the tight end, Jack Doyle.
Yep.
You're right. That's, I mean, when you look at it, you're like, okay. Okay, you know, when you see him, you see it at full speed. It's like, okay, he's not going to be able to pull out of it. If he does hit him, it's probably not going to look terrific. But it's got to be something with technique, because he did. Well, why lower the helmet? Why lower down like that?
I don't know if that's technique. That's just
a big no-no in the NFL now. Is lowering the crown of the helmet. I don't know what the hell else you're supposed to do. You get this big ass helmet on your head. Like those penalties are going to happen regardless of whether you're trying to do it yourself or it's just a part of the game where, you know, you literally can't get, you know, your head and your helmet out of the way in certain tackles.
I think some of them are incidental. Some of them were, but that one wasn't.
Without being in Burfict's head. It looked like that was a little intentional.
The other news that I think we were going to mention this guy, but I mean, here we go. We're going to mention him anyway. Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown segment.
He seems to always come up for God knows what reason. But for this week, he's set to file 1,000 grievances for lost money from Raiders and Patriots. I should say 1,000. What is it, 17?
It's nine grievances and appeals he's going after for. He is going after he's going after the money that he was fined by the Raiders, which was a total of $215,000. He's going after his salary guarantees that he was obviously the guaranteed monies that that he was promised from the Raiders, which is $29 million. He's going after his signing bonus from the Raiders, which was $1 million. He's going after his unpaid week one salary, which is $860,000, which is kind of bizarre, because wouldn't that come into his salary that he would have been paid by the Raiders? Wouldn't that come into that $29 million? So I think that's a little bizarre.
Yeah.
That's a little strange. So for mine, he's not going to get any of that. He won't see any of that. I'm not a legal expert or anything like that, so I don't know how all this sort of works. But looking at it from an outsider, I can't see how he gets any of that money. Now, he's also going after the Patriots. He's going after his $1 million salary guarantee, his $9 million signing bonus, the unpaid week three salary, which is $64,000, which seems kind of low. And also he's going after the Patriots' second year option for next year for $20 million. Now, he's not going to get that. He's, as far as I'm concerned, he's entitled to his week three salary because he played. His signing bonus and his guarantee, I think he's entitled to that as well because he was there. The Patriots knew this was all coming. It just seems, you know, after they've cut him afterwards, okay, then you can sort of try and sever ties. And obviously he's never going to see, you know, the light of day, that $20 million for his option for 2020. But definitely his week three salary, of course.
Yeah.
And he's guaranteed, he's signing bonus and he's guaranteed money that Patriots paid him. He played. So as far as I'm concerned, that means that you're buying it into that contract. He's played. Whereas with the Raiders, he was, you know, obviously, you know, he had all those indiscretions. He made an absolute muppet of himself. And the way that I've heard that they're going to get out of it is he had to be named in the week one squad by whether it was Saturday or Sunday, because that week one they had that Monday night game against the Broncos. So he had to be named in that 53-man squad. And as far as I know, he wasn't. He was let go before that, where he had all the theatrics of running around in the backyard like a douchebag. That was he was not on roster. So I don't think that there's going to be a whole lot of anything that he can do about that.
No, and you're right. I mean, but I just think with signing bonuses, I mean, I don't know the whole legal, I guess, contracts and with that with it. But as far as I was always aware, if you sign a contract and you're given a signing bonus for signing the contract, then isn't cash that money. Your bonus?
Yeah, that's right. Cash money. So there's the possibility that he still could get that from the Raiders.
Okay.
I think that was $1 million as well.
Well, at least he's got. I mean, he sounds like he's going to get some money. It's not the point, but
I think he will definitely get some monies. Tiny bonus of $1 million. He's never getting that fine money back. That $215,000 in fines. He's never getting that back.
It'll be interesting if they hang this, I guess, this prosecution over his head too, and just sort of play.
Well,
you know,
I think that's what everybody's waiting on. I think that's just what, yeah, how this civil case works out. Then it'll be go time. So he's obviously filling in his time rather well with, you know, going back to school and, you know, going watching back to his alma mater, Central Michigan, and also watching the NRL. So, yeah, that's hopefully he'll be watching the grand final on Sunday.
he might even be there. So look out, everybody.
What else has he got to do?
I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. He may be there. He has time. Why not?
What else has he got to do? Is he friends with Paul Pierce?
Yeah, probably. Who knows? Oh, imagine Jonathan Thurston, Paul Pierce, and Antonio Brown all together. That'd be a massive tour.
That would be a very, very interesting corporate box, that would be.
I'd love to go to that tour just to.
Oh, that'd be terrific. Good.
You don't even want to talk to Antonio Brown.
Would you?
Well, just to get some dirt. But anyway, I believe we're pretty sort of similar on our studs and duds of the week. Stud of the week being Leonard Fournette
for mine.
Yeah,
he had an absolute monster of a game, helping out everybody's new favorite player, Gardner Minshew.
Yep, Mr.
Mr.
Rico, did you see that picture where he's with that dude from? Oh, they look similar. It's ridiculous. From Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, Uncle wow. Rico. Oh, man. That was terrific. So, yes. So it's 29 carries for 225 yards. And then he had an 81 run rush. Holy moly.
When you watch him run by, I think it's just, I don't know if it's just a running back technique, but when I watched all those carries that he did, he's such a, when he runs very close to the ground. Like he's very stocky, if that makes sense. They're not big steps. He's not bounding out. It's so close to the ground. I don't know if that gives him more, his technique to sort of get away from, you know, or evade people, but.
That's what the Jags drafted a few years ago. This is who he is.
Yeah.
And they're not getting the consistency out of him.
No. I think this is, I mean, you're right. I mean, he has been injured in the past. I think last year he was injured, but this year seems at the moment to be his most consistent. I mean, this is a blowout, but it seems to be his most consistent. I mean, even the Jaguars, they're a funny team. Like no one, especially, you know, now Gardner's taken over. No one expected him to be like this anyway, at 2-2 at the moment. Right. Anyway, but.
Yeah, but that Leonard Fournette having games like this is definitely going to help.
Definitely going to help.
More of a game manager than anything. You know, he's obviously got DJ Shark and Dede Westbrook. They're not your quintessential, you know, number one receivers, but at least he's got options to throw to. But you know, with Fournette, you can rely on that run game. And it looks like Denver, you know, obviously don't have the I don't know what the hell's going on in Denver either. Like them defensively have been horrendous.
Yeah.
For them acquiring Vic Fangio, who was the former Bears defensive coordinator last year and a super defensive coach, for their defense to look the way it is with Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, who's coincidentally gone for the season with a partially torn ACL. So that's not going to help them at all. They've just looked horrendous defensively.
Yeah, I mean, Von Miller's trying. He got 2 sacks again last week, but you're right. I mean, the defense...
He can't do it all himself. That's correct. He just can't do it all himself.
I just don't think they've got no attacking prowess. I mean, there's no way Joe Flacco was basically, in a way, pushed out of his position from Lamar Jackson, but, you know...
They don't have the weapons for him to throw to either. Like... No.
Emmanuel Sanders is probably their best option.
There's a Cortland Sutton and Emmanuel Sanders. Emmanuel Sanders is still there. You're just like, oh man, like he just doesn't really have the people to sort of throw to. Philip Lindsay's a nice, a nice running back, and he had a pretty good rookie season last year. But you know, they're trying to get Royce Freeman a little bit more involved in the run game as well, and he just hasn't lived up to expectations.
I mean, Emmanuel Sanders is 32 years old, so you can't, like, you're right. I mean, he is their number one receiver, which is ridiculous.
He's their number one by a long shot.
Yeah.
So that's like I said, we're just going sort of off tangent. They're in a spot of bother, I think, the Denver Broncos, so... a few teams, and there's going to be, you know, a lot of pressure on some of those teams like Atlanta, like the Jets, like the Broncos next week and in the next couple of weeks to try and turn it around.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's a few teams, and we might touch on that next week. We were saying there's a few teams, coaches at least, that are definitely going to be on the chopping block, which is we're only talking week 4, which is ridiculous, but.
Yeah, correct.
Hence in point, then I guess your dud of the week.
I have multiple duds of the week.
Collectively, that means
collectively, it would be Atlanta, Buffalo, Green Bay, Baltimore, Houston, Indiana, and the Rams all losing at home this week to, you know, maybe not so much to a lesser extent, Buffalo, because obviously they had New England, but all the rest of those teams, you know, realistically should have beaten their opponents on their home field. Atlanta losing to Tennessee, Green Bay losing to Philly, like that was a bit of a stunner on Thursday night.
Even Minnesota losing to Chicago Bears. You're right.
No, well, the thing with that game was, like, as soon as Trubisky went out, he's got a dislocated shoulder. As soon as he went out in the first quarter, Chase Daniels came in, and he managed the game.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is Minnesota is the kind of team that shouldn't be losing those games either. You know, they've got Adam Thielen he's really not getting the ball. So it's probably
That's for me. Them offensively as well. They're like Atlanta.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins does not have any excuses at all. Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook, Kyle Rudolph, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
He's got no excuses at all.
This was a team that was like one or two passes away from pretty much at least attempting to go to the Super Bowl last year, correct?
No, a year before.
Year before, sorry, the Minnesota Miracle. Miracle.
Yeah. And then, that's right. They played Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah. You're right.
That was with Case Keenum.
Yeah, true.
That was the Case Keenum. Kirk Cousins was supposedly an upgrade.
Debatable, but yeah.
See, it just looked like it. I don't think it does.
Well, not at the moment, obviously. Yeah, you're right. I mean, the duds of the week definitely was the collective of bad teams, and I guess...
Not so much bad teams. Yeah, those teams that were home... Yeah. Should have won those games. Yeah. And like I said, to a lesser extent, Buffalo, because you wouldn't really expect Buffalo to knock off New England, but they definitely rattled Brady's cage and the Patriots' cage. Josh Allen just had a bit of a stinker, and you can't afford to do that.
No, not against the Patriots. I mean,
you've got to capitalize when the Patriots have a down game.
Correct. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that should have been
like 18-37 or something. Like, it was under 50%.
Yep. 18-39 and only 150 yards. No touchdowns thrown. So
he killed me on fantasy. Killed me.
Yeah, well, that's a whole different thing we could talk about. I killed you on fantasy.
Hey, winner with 89 points. Woohoo!
I killed you on fantasy, depending on which league we're talking about.
Oh,
but
I'm not worried about that stupid 6-team league. Nobody cares.
Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. I seen you crying. Was there any other sort of news you wanted to bring up before we sort of wrap it up?
Just one sort of last little thing was I thought was interesting that popped up this week too. As we go on about the evergreen Frank Gore passed at the ripe old age of 36, went past 15,000 rushing yards, and I believe that he's the fourth player to go past that 15,000. 15,000 yard total.
Yeah.
There's a guy called Emmett Smith that's there. So, you know, you'd
never heard of him.
He's gonna. never heard of him. I don't know how good he was. Yeah, not sure how good he was. I think Deion Sanders, is he one of them as well? I might be wrong.
Oh yeah, vaguely remember that guy.
Yeah, I think he was pretty good too.
Yeah, pretty sure. But you're right, Frank Gore, and if anything, and that's what I said. I mean, this took, I guess, sort of quickly going to the Bills. When they traded away or cut LeSean McCoy to the Chiefs, I thought they were gone. I thought they were getting rid of a decent player and still keeping Frank Gore. But yeah, he's done. He is evergreen. He is like Tom Brady.
Barry Sanders. Sorry to cut you off. Barry Sanders. My bad.
He's like Tom Brady. He just doesn't seem to want to give up the game. Well, not give up the game, but he's just, he is evergreen. He is.
But to do to do what he does at, you know, at 36.
At a running back position.
To play the position that he does is he's an Iron Man.
Yeah. Yeah, correct. And, because it's not just, I mean, he's not getting protected like Brady. He's not.
Four yards at a time.
He's not. Yeah, so he's not getting protected. He has to be a lot. Well, it's like a running back position, so he has to be a lot fitter than Brady. So, yeah,
just not so much fit. He's got to be more durable.
Yeah, yeah, true. But yeah, I mean, he's
have
not
a little
protected.
Bit of durability.
Well, that'll do it for this week. That was week 4 of the review of the NFL. Don't forget to catch us on all the socials, SoundCloud, Facebook, which I think we're so close to getting to 100 likes. So
get on it, people.
4 more likes.
Spread that love around.
We'll somehow we'll find who the 100th person is, and we'll just do a shout out just because we can.
We'll give you a personalized shout out. How about that?
I think just because he just won, I think James Tedesco should just go be a 100th person so we can give him a shout out just because he won WM of the year. Twitter at
who
the
couldn't see that coming? Pod.
Yeah, who couldn't see that coming? It was closer than you think. So,
the other night, that was a lock.
Have a good week, everyone. My name's Jason.
Very good. Thank you, Jason. My name's Miles. Everybody, enjoy your NFL this weekend, everybody.
See ya.